Any other little children who'd like to come, if there aren't any seats right here, you can come and sit down right here on the floor. If you'd like to come on, come right now. Yeah, we'll wait on you, because we're not just directing the lesson to you, but I had to make a choice between aiming at you or aiming at the adults. So we aim at the adults so much, I felt like we'd better tell this story to you all and let the older people get what they can. But it's for all of us, but I want you to especially be good. Come right on down and be seated. Yeah, Jay, you'll have to be... Yeah, right there, buddy, be fine. Atta boy. Dean may have to sit with that one. Let's see. All right. Fine. That's good. Can you see over there all right? Can you boys all right? You wouldn't rather come right here, would you, where I can see you? Okay. Okay. Well, well, such fine children. And we've got the wee babies are not in here with us. Sometimes that's kind of good because they cry sometimes when they're hungry and when they're fretful. All right, are you set now? Come right on over here if you want to. Yeah, be real. And try to be real still now because I'm going to tell you something that's so important. Atta boy. Well, all right, all of you children now listen to me and let me tell you a story. You know, when you were born, you were mostly just about like all other little bitty babies who were newborn babies. You were a precious, lovable little bundle, helpless as could be, but a precious little bundle of new life. People had been making preparations for you for months. Your mother, she had been getting ready for you. When she first found out that you were coming, she began to knit things and crochet things, I guess, or whatever you do for babies. She began to get your room ready for the little girls. She got a pink room. For the little boys, she made a blue room. Of course, we didn't really know what you were going to be before you were born. But they also picked out a name for you. But for months, they'd been getting ready for you to come into the world. Also, it might have been for years, because even your grandparents actually used to pray probably for you that you might have the right mama or the right daddy, because they were so concerned about you. And all of this took place, and you were so important. And yet, as important as you were, the funny thing about it is that when you were born, you were just a little baby. You were just there. That's all you could say. There wasn't much going on. You slept most of the time during the day, and you were awake at night. But you just kind of were there as a blob, just a little brand new baby human. The thing that's so unusual about it is that it was not you that were really the center of attraction. In a sense, you were. But you know who the main odd people were, the ones that were so interesting? It was the ones who came to your nursery window when you were in the hospital, and they looked through there and saw you lying in that little crib. Of all the funny people that came, your mom and daddy came, and they were so proud. And your grandmother and your granddaddy, they came, and they were just so proud, they just could hardly stand it. It was these people. Norman Rockwell, a great contemporary painter, painted a picture of mother and daddy and grandmother and friends and granddaddy looking through the nursery window pointing to a little newborn baby, and they had the silliest expressions on their faces. And that was, it was just the way it, that's just the way it is. The people who come in contact with you as a baby are very important, and they're just interesting. Now, that same thing happened when Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, to most people, he was just about like, well, most other little newborn baby humans. Some of them didn't know the peculiar things that took place about his birth. And so, as far as they were concerned, he wasn't all that much unusual. But people had also been making preparations for him. He was one of those lovable, helpless little baby human beings. And his mother had been making preparations for him for about 9 months, and she had known about it, you see, even before she had become a, in the motherly way, she knew about him coming. We'll get through this yet. But he had also been prepared for not just months, but for years. Because, you see, his ancestors knew that he was going to be a special child. And so they had told also about where he was going to be born. Micah said he would be born in Bethlehem. And so we find preparations being made. He was also named before he was born. His name was to be called Jesus. And all these preparations began to be made so that this one who was to be the Son of God might come and be the Savior of the world. And that's the way he was, that's how he was described. But also the funny thing about his birth, as I began reading through these records of his birth, I became aware of the fact that really he was just like any other little baby. He was just there. I suspect he slept most of the time. I suspect that he cried when he was hungry and when he needed his diapers changed. But you see, there isn't all that much activity about Jesus. And I wrestled with this thing for weeks. Little children, I put this off for 2 or 3 weeks trying to figure out how to tell you about his birth. But there wasn't much going on about him. And then it suddenly dawned on me that just like with you, it's not you as a baby that provides all the interesting conversation. It's the people that are looking at you through the window. So it was with Jesus. It was these people who came in contact with the baby Jesus, who came to the manger, who came to Bethlehem. It was those people who provided such an interesting story. And Matthew and Luke do somewhat like Norman Rockwell did. They paint us a beautiful, strange, and interesting picture of these people who came looking in the manger and looking into the nursery. And I want to tell you about them tonight, just briefly. Some of these were Mary and Joseph, the mother and father, the proud parents. The story really begins about 9 months before his birth. Mary was told by the angel that she was going to bear a son and that he would be the Savior of the world and that his name would be called Jesus. But though the story begins back that far, I'd like for us to pick it up just as Mary and Joseph leave Nazareth and make their way to Jerusalem. It probably, in her condition, took them about, about a couple of weeks for them to get there? It was probably 70 miles. They wouldn't have made much. You see, she was large by this time. She had been carrying Jesus now, as mothers do, and she had been carrying him almost for 9 months. So we'll just pick up as they leave Nazareth and as they come then to the city of Bethlehem. And listen to what the writer Luke, who is the doctor, Luke says this. He's not the doctor that delivered the baby, but he was a physician of the first century. Listen to this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. When Mary arrived in Bethlehem, she was awkward, probably. She was riding on a mule, no doubt, a donkey. That was the way they traveled back there. And in her condition, I know Joseph wouldn't have allowed her to walk that long way from Bethlehem or from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So I suspect that she rode this donkey. But she was so big and awkward at the time, it must not have been a very pleasant trip. It seems like, perhaps, that they camped when they got to Bethlehem. They camped in a tent. How many of you, did you ever camp in a tent with your mothers and fathers? Many of you have. Well, it seems like that's the way they did mostly back there. They lived in tents whenever they went on trips. And it seems like from the verse here, verse 6, while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. It didn't happen the very day they arrived. That seems that they got to the city, stayed 2 or 3 days, or so many number of days, and then all of a sudden, one night, the great event took place. Mothers have a beautiful way of handling this situation. They have a very noble and calm way of just waking up the father during the night and saying, "I think this is it." And it's a beautiful thing. I don't know how they're so calm. In fact, usually the husband wakes up with the wife making noise, packing a suitcase. Or if she's already packed it, she's getting dressed. And there he's still asleep. There's no real frenzy. I've noticed that. We've had five. And just there's a calmness and a serenity. And usually they just say it's going to be tonight. I can imagine if they did stay in a tent until the time of the birth, that Mary wakened Joseph that night and said, "This is it. I think he's coming tonight. Would you go and find me a place in the inn?" You see, the inn was the nearest thing they had back then to a hospital. And so what Mary was really saying was, "Go and let's get ready to go to the hospital. I'm going to have the baby tonight." So Joseph, if he was a normal father, got so excited, he probably put his coat on over his legs, you know, and tried to put his breeches on over his head. They just get all excited and all flustered, and they're all thumbs, and you can't get the donkey open, or the, They just don't quite know what to do with themselves. And mothers are very patient during those hours because they know that men just really aren't equipped for having babies or for taking care of mothers who are having babies. And so Joseph, perhaps very nervously, went to the inn and said, "Look, I need to get in here. We're going to have a baby. We need to get it." And the man said, "I'm sorry, sir. You've waited a bit late. There's no room in the inn." Well, he said, "Well, what am I going to do?" And so perhaps the innkeeper just said, "Well, we have a stable out back. You're able to go out there if you want to and stay in the cow's stable, and you can fix her a bed on with a new straw." And so Joseph perhaps looked apologetically at Mary and said, "Well, that's the best we can do." But it didn't really perturb her. It just doesn't perturb mothers for some reason or other. So the Bible says that the mother and the father-in-law went into the inn, and that the child was born there in that inn that night, listen, in the stable. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, we've read that for years, but if you think about the circumstances that surrounded their coming to Bethlehem and the event itself and the way mothers do and the way fathers do, and as they went to the inn and there was no room, and you just see the company go out, the little couple go out into the stable and make their bed there. Well, during the night, after much labor, if she was customary of most mothers who have their first babies, it would have been after much labor, there would have come this wee tiny cry from a newborn baby. I don't know how they brought them to breathe back there. Today, many times, or at least it's been customary to hold them up, you know, and spank them or pat them, or there are other ways, it seems, also. Those that are born without the mother having been anesthetized or drugged, they seem to be born breathing, and they didn't use drugs back there for these things. They were born naturally, so perhaps Jesus didn't have to be spanked in order to breathe. But like all newborn babies, I suspect he cried when he was born. And then it was Mary's job, or someone who attended her, maybe Joseph did it, but to clean him up. He'd just been born, and little babies who are just born aren't very clean. They're kind of messy. And so someone took him and cleaned him. Some cultures rub salt on the little baby's body. And I don't know what it's for, but they rub salt all over his body. And then cleaning him up, they bring him back to his mother and lay the little child in his mother's arms. And probably he nurses. And I don't doubt but what that's exactly what Jesus did. Among the first ones to see the Christ child, of course, were Mary and Joseph and some cows and some donkeys probably. And you can almost see the cows and donkeys just look at this odd event that's taken place in their midst. But these are the first people. You might just say the proud parents are the first ones who were aware of this birth of the Lord. But they're not the only ones. You remember when you were born? You don't remember, but when you were born, your mother and daddy sent out invitations that when your birth came, we proudly announced, just like we announced a moment ago, this 9-pound, 10-ounce baby girl. My, she was a bouncing baby girl. That's big for a girl. That's big for a boy. But anyway, they sent out announcements, you know, about this baby. And we got announcements all the time about these little baby boys born. And they name him and they tell him how much he weighed and where he was born and where he'll be living maybe. Or maybe it was a girl. Well, God, the father of this young baby here, the father of Jesus, God sent out invitations too. Listen to this. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Incidentally, the swaddling clothes, you know what the swaddling clothes were? They were kind of like a bandage that they wrapped around a child to make him feel like he was being held. They say that little babies, having been carried for 9 months in their mother's tummy, that they're so, you know, they're so snug and they feel so comfortable and held in the mama that whenever they're born and they're left, you know, on their own, they have a sensation of falling and they feel insecure. But the swaddling cloth was to wrap that little baby up to where he'd feel like he's being held all the time, and he felt secure. So that's what the angel said. He said, "You'll find him in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths." But listen, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he's pleased.' And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." Well, this is an interesting, exciting night. Here they were out in the fields keeping watch over their sheep. It was quiet. You know, when shepherds are keeping their sheep, everything is real quiet. It's a very peaceful scene. All of a sudden, one of these angels from God came and made an announcement. He said, "I bring you good news of great tidings of joy. A Savior is born in the city of David, and he's lying there in a manger in swaddling clothes." And then all of a sudden, there was this multitude of heavenly hosts that perhaps just filled the earth or filled the sky till it just came down as a great host of people, and they heard these ones singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men." And they were so excited. In fact, it scared them. It says they were filled with fear. And they said, "Don't be afraid." Isn't it beautiful how God calms us down? He knows that we mortals have difficulty understanding how someone from another realm can come down and say something to us. It just scares us. And so he says, "Don't you be afraid. Everything's all right. I'm bringing you some good news." And then they tell them to go and find this child. So after the ones who had come and made the announcement and after the singers left, then the shepherds, they say they got together. It says they talked to one another. And they said, "Let's go over there and see this sight that's been told us." And so they do. It says they go with haste. Now, how many of you have ever gone somewhere that you were real excited about getting there? Maybe you remember ever going to a fair or going to see a circus, and you can hardly stand it. You can hardly wait. I suspect these men started out walking real fast. You know, they wanted to stay together and be nice to each other, so they started walking real fast. And yet, all of a sudden, somebody broke out into a run, and their heart was pounding in them because they were so excited about what had happened and the prospects of what was going to happen. And so they began running. And I suspect they arrived in Bethlehem just out of breath. They just couldn't quite, you know, they were just so exhausted from running. The thing that I wondered about as I read this, I wondered about how did they know which of the mangers to go to? You know, it just says you'll find him in a manger. I suspect that way in the middle of the night, they'd go to one house and they'd knock on the door and they'd say, "Has a baby been born here tonight?" The man said, "No, man, what are you doing waking me up in the middle of the night?" And it may be that some of them joined these shepherds. I don't know. It says later on that all that were listening to what they told marveled at it. They picked up some people somewhere. But anyway, after a while, if they had to go into one place and then the next to try to find the right manger, then it would become obvious there was going to be this particular manger, and there it was when they came and said, "Look, has there been a baby born here tonight?" And the motel man would say, "Yes, there has been. They're out in the stable. They're out in the stall." And so hurriedly the shepherds went out there, and they just kind of burst in there, and they found the baby, and they found Mary and Joseph, and they said, "Look, let me tell you what happened." And they began just to babble about the angels and about the announcement and about the singers. And they were so excited, they forgot to worship. It didn't dawn on them that they were... It was so overwhelming, I don't think they realized what was happening. And they told all this story to all the people that were there. And then the text says, listen, "And the shepherds returned," that is, after they left the stall or the stable, they returned back to their job. And it says they returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. Now, that's just as natural that they would do that after it was all over and they'd left it behind, and they would then go on back to their job of keeping the sheep, and they'd be going back and think, can you imagine that? And then they would just simply, they'd be overcome with praise and worship. Well, all right, there's one other group of people that came. There was the mother and the daddy, the proud parents. And then there were the shepherds, who were the excited visitors. But then there was a third group that we'll mention briefly, and that is, there were the reverent foreigners. You know what they were called? The wise men. They had had plenty of time to absorb what was happening. They were looking for a king. You see, they had come from the land of Persia. Persia was about 1,500 miles east of Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And these young men, or these men, had come from that place so far removed from Jerusalem. I guess they started months earlier, but it would take them, I don't know how many months it would take them to make that 1,500 or so mile trip from Persia. But they came there, they came from Persia, and by the time they got to Jerusalem, they would have been sun-tanned, you know, and wind-blown and wind-tossed, and so they came on their camels, these strange people with these on the camels, and they looked somewhat different from the people of Jerusalem because the country they came from was different. And they came bearing these beautiful chests of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And there they were pulling this donkey or this camel train, you know. And so here they came to the city of Jerusalem. And they went into the gates and they started talking about it and asking people, "Do you know where the King of the Jews is to be born? Well, we saw his star over in the east, and we're wanting to come now and see him. We want to worship him." Well, that got Jerusalem all up in an uproar. And they started buzzing here, there, and yonder and talking about it. And so someone went and told Herod. And Herod got all upset over it because, you see, the news of the coming birth of a new king meant trouble for Herod. But anyway, finally, no one really seemed to have answered them. And so Herod summoned them to come into his presence. And he said, "What is it you want?" And they said, "Well, we're looking for this king. We saw his star in the east, and we want to know where he's born." Matthew records it like this: "Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that's been born, or who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people, Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.'" And so Jerusalem being stirred as it was, these men wanting to know where the king was to be born. And finally, when they were told, in Bethlehem, which was about 6 miles from Jerusalem, just south of Jerusalem, about 6 miles, they got on their donkeys or their camels once more and made their way toward Bethlehem. Well, when they came to the city of Bethlehem, the Bible says that they saw the star again. The star seems to have not been seen for a while, but then when they came to Bethlehem, they saw the star up over the city and there up over this place where the child was. And so they came with their gifts. It says that they rejoiced exceedingly. Listen, when they had heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And you have these foreign dignitaries coming from this long distance and bearing these gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And when they saw the baby Jesus there in the house with his mother Mary and his father there, Joseph, they were overwhelmed with reverence, and they opened their chests and gave these gifts. There's a statement made by a man in a book, What's Special About Jesus? Listen to this. The night of Jesus' birth was in many ways a magic night. A world darkened by tyranny and human suffering was briefly brightened by a star moving serenely among the planets. In far-off Persia, some magi saddled their camels to follow the star's course because its appearance coincided with certain prophecies about a king to be born. Meanwhile, a group of shepherds near Bethlehem, according to their report later, were frightened half to death by the appearance of angels who sang of the birth of a Savior in, of all places, a neighbor's stable. In some beautifully mysterious way, it seems that all levels of nature and society were destined to meet at the manger in Bethlehem. From simple peasants to foreign dignitaries, from bleating sheep to the very stars of heaven, all the universe was focused on that humble scene. Jesus the Christ was born. And so tonight we're called to worship in this very simple scene around the manger of the birth of the Son of God. And I'm so thankful that you let us tell you the story. We're going to sing some songs now about it. Would you like to sing with us?
Hymn number 464, 464.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting. Child of Bethlehem, dear.
Number 579. If you know the tenor and the bass parts, you may go ahead and include these and make a four-part out of this that is written in two.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The asleep on the hay. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to glory to live with thee there.
Turn, please, to number 501. Number 501. We'll sing this song in just a moment as an invitation song, but would you bow your heads with me just for a moment of praise and worship? Loving Father, as we've considered the birth of your Son, we offer our feeble efforts to explain it and to comprehend it. We offer ourselves to you as humbled and surprised and afraid observers, as such a majestic happening as that took place on this earth. Holy Father, I find myself unable to tell it, and I wonder if we're able to understand it. Please have mercy upon us as we try to fathom and to comprehend what happened when he became flesh. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for him, that he was born, that he didn't come as some great king, but that he touched us where each one of us has been as a newborn babe, and that you allowed him to be born of a mother. You allowed him to grow up as a child and to grow in strength and in wisdom and in your favor and in favor with people among whom he lived. But we thank you tonight, Lord, for the simplicity of the record in the midst of all of its majesty and excellence. We thank you for the straightforward simplicity of it. It has such a ring to it. We know that this actually happened in the way it's described. We commit ourselves to that record, and we thank you for it. Thank you for preserving it for us through these two men who wrote of the event. We praise your name, Lord, for what you have done in bringing Jesus Christ down to us. And so we stand here tonight, Lord, in your presence. Please help us and take us and do with us as you would please. We ask you to take our lives and mold them. And may his birth be so meaningful in our lives that we'll be caused, like the shepherds, to go away from this building tonight in worship and in reverence. Please, Father, help us to comprehend what happened. Bless these little children tonight who've gathered around to hear this story. Impress upon their minds the importance of what happened, and may they treasure this event throughout their lives. Forgive us, Lord, as we've brought to this scene our own selves, undone as we are, and help us to be more like the wise men who brought great gifts and bearing honor and praise to this child. We thank you that you protected him and brought him into maturity. We thank you for his death and for his resurrection. Bless us tonight with this realization. In Jesus' name, amen. This song asks that God take our life.